This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
Have you been waiting for a great deal on a new Chevy car or truck? Now's the time at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet. They need to sell 20 more new vehicles by the end of June, so they'll be giving the best deals of the year. Stock number C371 Silverado Extended Cab with savings of $9,000. $2,000 off Chevy Equinox V6 models. Price is good through June 30th on in-stock vehicles at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, your Chevy truck store since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
11 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning from WSMI FM 106 in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade. July wheat now trading at 638.5, down 1.5. September wheat trading at 749.5, down 1.5. July corn now trading at 659, that is up 9.5. September corn trading at 637.75, up 10.25. July soybeans now trading at 1474, up 3. August beans 1456.75, that is up 3/4. The overnight crude oil market, 18 cents lower at $80.03. The Brent crude, 63 cents lower at $92.87. The August gold contract, $9.30 lower at $1,569.10. The U.S. dollar index 0.163 higher at 82.715. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at 732, up 3. September wheat, 751.25, up 4.25. December wheat closed at 772.25, up 6. July corn yesterday closed at 649.5, up 3.5. September corn closed at 627.5, up 8. December corn closed at 633, up 9. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1471, up a half. August beans closed at 1456, up a half. And September beans closed at 1426, up a quarter. July soybean meal yesterday closed at 428, up 8. August meal closed at 423.70, down a nickel. September meal closed at 417.60, down 11. July soybean oil yesterday closed at 51.36, up 48. August oil closed at 51.54, up 48. And September oil closed at 51.72, that was up 45. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with today's grain market news report. The Illinois Country Grain prices ended mixed on Wednesday afternoon. Dry weather again supported higher grain futures. In the cash grain markets, trading activity was slow to moderate. And again today, there was a weaker cash corn basis at many grain terminals and processors. The processor cash corn basis fell by 13 to 17 cents at many locations. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 8 to 9 cents lower at 6.49 to 6.65, but soybeans were up 1 to 2 cents at 14.56 to 14.68. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids mixed at 6.63 to 6.75. Soybeans fell by 1 to 2 cents down to 14.58 to 14.73, and cash wheat bids gained 6 cents at 7.02 to 7.16. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed at 669 to 695. Soybeans ended steady to a penny lower at 1464 to 1478. And cash wheat bids ended 1 to 2 cents higher at 706 to 757. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted those producer corn bids down 10 to 13 cents at 662 to 669. Soybean bids ended steady to 2 cents stronger at 1486 to 1492, and cash wheat bids gained 3 cents, closing at 718 to 724. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 to 5 cents lower at 678 to 683. These same elevators placed their soybean prices mixed with quotations at 1485 to 1503. Cash wheat bids ended 4 cents stronger for the day at 733 to 734, and the Milo up 5 at 617 to 618. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, July hogs closed at 95.57, up 192. August hogs closed at 91.70, up 270. October hogs closed at 81.05, up 137. June cattle yesterday closed at 116.40, up 115. August cattle closed at 117.25, up 177. October cattle closed at 121.27, up 142. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 148.85, up 115. September feeders closed at 151.90, up 165. October feeders closed at 152.85, up $1.40. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Wednesday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 3,637 head today. They're trading $1.60 lower from $92 to $98, with a weighted average of $95.78. And in Illinois today, there was 10,400 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a hog carcass was up a dime today at $99.56. Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report, sows traded mostly steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 43 to 45, 4 to 5 weights from $44 to $48, and over 500 pounds from 47 to 51. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again today from $66 to $69. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Wednesday, hogs are at 403,000 on the day, that's up 5,000 from last week but down 2,000 from last year. Cattle are at 125,000 on the day. That's up 1,000 from last week, but down 6,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 150 fabricated loads and 66 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up 19 pennies at $1.97.93, while selects were up a dime at $1.80.32, leaving the choice select spread at $17.61. At the Shelbyville Livestock Auction on Tuesday, they had 685 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold steady to 50 cents lower, while Holstein steers sold half a dollar higher. Choice steers at $1.19 to $1.23, while select and choice cattle were at $1.16.75 to $1.18.5. Choice Holsteins from $1.10.75 to $1.15.25, and choice heifers traded from $1.19 to $1.23. At the Fairview Livestock Auction on Tuesday, they had 255 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $2 to $3 lower, while Holstein steers traded steady. Choice steers from $1.17 and a quarter to $1.13 and a quarter, while select cattle were at $1.13 to $1.17.5. Choice Holsteins from $1.08 to $1.11, and choice heifers from $1.17 to $1.21.50. In the slaughter cow division, you had breaking type cows from $90 to $95, and boning type cows from $75 to $79.75. And at the Greenville Livestock Auction, the opening report for Wednesday, they estimate 780 head on offer compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers are trading $1 to $2 lower, and Holsteins were not tested early. Choice steers from $1.18 to $1.20, while selecting choice cattle were at $1.14 to $1.17. And slaughter heifers, select and choice, traded from $1.12.5 to $1.16. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, $1.52 unchanged; for block cheese, $1.65 1/4 unchanged; for barrel cheese, $1.67 1/2 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk yesterday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, $15.64. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for June, $6.74. For July, $6.35. Corn delivered to Scottville for June, $6.66. And for July, $6.32. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for June, $14.63. And for July, $14.41. Wheat delivered to Scottville for June, $7.04. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield, $6.74. Corn at Scottville, $6.66. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.63. Wheat at Scottville, $7.04. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois for today, sunny and hot, the high about 105 degrees today with southwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 70s. And for tomorrow, Friday, once again, sunny and hot, the high about 105 degrees. The extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the upper 70s, high temperatures in the upper 90s. Right now at the Weather Center, light south winds, the barometric pressure rising, our temperature 67 degrees, and a heat advisory is in effect from noon today until about 7 Saturday evening. Once again, 67 degrees at the Weather Center. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Hi, I'm Jean Strasbaugh, Administrator of Gillespie Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Care. We are rated by U.S. News and World Reports as one of the top 50 nursing homes in Illinois. We're also rated 5-star by Medicare and had a zero-deficiency public health survey. A tremendous thank you to the wonderful staff at Heritage Health in Gillespie for the hard work and dedication that enriches our residents' lives and whose performance allows us to achieve these accomplishments.
In our farm news today, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink about the area's corn crop, and he mentioned something that he has been asked about.
We're getting some questions about fungicide application on corn. And just give you some guidelines regarding that. First of all, consider the previous crop and tillage practice. After corn, obviously, is more of a threat than corn after soybeans. Planting date. Most research has shown that the late planted corn is more at risk to something like gray leaf spot or some of these other diseases. Well, this year we had a lot of early planted corn. We didn't have too much late planted corn. So, probably that's not going to be a factor. Hybrid susceptibility, talk to your M&M crop specialist and talk to him about, the hybrid that you've got out there and its susceptibility to, various diseases, what kind of disease tolerance package that particular hybrid has. Weather and environment, that's a big issue. High humidity and moisture are very important for disease development. Well, obviously, we've not had those conditions this year. We've had very low humid conditions and not much moisture, so this should not be should not be weather conditions for disease spread. And then last but most important, disease observations. Get out there and scout. And I've been doing this. I've walked into many cornfields. I've not seen much disease, if any at all, especially above the ear leaf. And so I just don't think that there's going to be a lot of response to a fungicide this year. As a guideline, in past years, our researchers tell us that when disease severity is less than 10% on the leaf, in other words, you look at the leaf and you see lesions on there less than 10% of the total leaf area, there's only going to be a yield response equal to about a tenth of a bushel per acre with a fungicide application. But this increases pretty rapidly between 10 and 14% leaf severity. That jumps to about a 6 to 7 bushel per acre increase. And then, you get above 14% or so, 15%, then that could jump to about a 15 bushel increase with the use of a fungicide. So again, get out there and scout, look at the plants, see if there's, any indication of disease, try to find some lesions on the leaf. Like I said, I've not found much at all. In my opinion, right now, at this point, there's not going to be a whole lot of response to fungicide. But I did have one farmer tell me that he was going to put some fungicide on. He did see some rust, and he was going plant health. There's some indication out there that it could increase plant health, stay green. But if there's no disease out there, it's not going to make much difference anyway with the hot, dry weather we're having.
And you wouldn't really need to apply any kind of a fungicide if there's not a problem. But like you said, scouting is still very important.
Scouting is very important. I wouldn't criticize, a producer if he wants to try a fungicide this year. But it's just unlikely at this point. Given the information that we have right now, it's just unlikely there's going to be much response to it.
Would the fungicide application this year help in subsequent crops in later years?
No. There's obviously no carryover, and the fungicide will only give you protection for about 3 weeks or so. So, there's no carryover. There's no benefit for crops to follow. So, it's just a here and now type of protection for the plants. So, scouting, and if you're having questions about that, talk to your M&M crop specialist, and he'll be glad to come out and look at some of these fields and give you his opinion regarding whether or not a fungicide should be applied. But again, we're in that window right now, that window of application when it's tasseled, it's silked, it's in the R1 stage. Some producers tend to go a little bit later. We're hearing some talk about maybe brown silk stage, which is, a few days from now. So, on these earliest planted fields, now's when you want to get out there and do the scouting.
That was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. In other farm news, Congressman John Shimkus recently spoke with WSMI News, and he gave an update on the upcoming farm bill.
Well, the Senate passed their version just last week. I don't think the House Agricultural Committee is going to work on the bill as a committee until after the 4th of July break. They'll probably do that the week after, and then, that bill could then be on the floor the week after that. So the House is on this particular aspect. The House was waiting for the Senate to move first, which they did. They do have an ag insurance component in the Senate bill, which is promising. It doesn't save as much money as we think the House bill might. The food title is still pretty big. I mean, what people don't really know, I think it's about 80% of the farm bill is, in essence, food, nutrition, and food stamps. And there is, we want that to go to the people in need. We don't want it to go to people who are not in need or not qualified. And there's too much abuse of that program. We're trying to rein that in.
And that was Congressman John Shimkus. One half of the beef sold in the United States is served at restaurants, but it takes work to keep it on the menus, especially as supplies get tighter and prices get higher. Recently, the Beef Checkoff sponsored an event to help some of the nation's top chefs explore creative ways to put beef on restaurant menus. Brian Baxter has more in this report from California.
There was sizzle in the kitchen and plenty of beef on the menu as some of America's leading restaurant chefs participated in an event funded by the Beef Checkoff and designed to give these culinary professionals new beef menu ideas.
Beef is number one on their menu, and we need to keep it there because that's important. We've come up with these new ideas, be it the country style ribs or the flat iron or any of these other cuts, and they're just excited to have new cuts to put on their menu at different price points.
Held in California at the Culinary Institute of America at Greystone, the Beef It's What's on the Menu event brought together culinary decision makers from leading restaurants, retailers, and packers. The experience included sessions on beef economics and sustainability, cutting demonstrations, and hands-on work cooking with new beef cuts.
It's actually, I saw a couple of interesting cuts, like the Denver, cut, the rancher steak. I think those are very beneficial, especially for a concept like Chili's, that we can obviously bring a quality product to our customers at an affordable price.
It's trying to find a way to introduce those new cuts into the restaurant and coming up with those great names or great recipes because, we're kind of stuck doing the same thing all the time. So the Beef Checkoff gives us those opportunities.
In addition to funding from the National Beef Checkoff Program, checkoff dollars from Texas, California, Kansas, Iowa, South Dakota, and Florida made the education event possible.
This is what the checkoff is for. Our whole job is to help promote and educate about beef and increase beef sales, really get people, consumers, and food service alike to really understand beef in a better way. And this is how it's done.
It's a small investment that'll have huge returns, hopefully, for the industry. If we get more items on the menus throughout the industry, that can really help.
Altogether, more than 30 chefs participated in one of two 2-day sessions, taking home insights and information to help keep beef on the menu. For the Beef Checkoff, I'm Brian Baxter reporting.
The time has come to submit entries for the many competitions that will be held during the State Fair August 9th through the 19th. The fair offers more than 8,700 competitive events to choose from, ranging from livestock and culinary contests to amateur art and talent competitions. Information about these can be found in the premium books. They are available online and in print. They are available online at www.illinoisstatefair.info under the Competitions tab. Print copies can be obtained from the Competitive Events Office. You can phone 782-0786. A couple of competitions whose deadlines are nearing: the Junior Livestock Show, the entry deadline July 1st, the Western Horse Show and Society Horse Show entry deadline is July 1st. A pasture walk Tuesday evening at Brent Obert's farm near Camp Point allowed concerned farmers to get tips on how to stretch crops and resources during a drought. University of Illinois Extension beef specialist Travis Mateer spoke about taking care of cattle during a drought. He suggested a rotational grazing system, which allows farmers to use more pasture along with alternative feed substances such as corn byproducts. The 50 to 60 varieties of grapes grown in Illinois have evolved into a hardy breed able to withstand the hot, cold, wet, dry mood swings of the Midwest weather. According to Bradley Beam, wine specialist with the Illinois Grape Growers and Vintners Association, The House Appropriations Committee met Wednesday to mark up the 2013 Interior and Environmental Spending Bill. The measure includes $28 billion for the EPA and the Department of the Interior. That is a cut of about $1.2 billion from current funding and about $1.7 billion less than the Obama administration requested. The bill would cut EPA spending by $1.4 billion. The 17% reduction is aimed at blocking environmental regulations. There are some policy riders that apply to agriculture. Among those, one would prevent the EPA from expanding its authority to regulate navigable waters under the Clean Water Act. Another would restrict the agency from setting air emission standards for carbon dioxide, nitrous oxide, and methane, among other pollutants that come from livestock operations. Natural gas futures rose more than 2% to their highest level in a month on Monday after a tropical storm knocked out more than one-third of natural gas production in the Gulf of Mexico. Tropical Storm Debbie blew through the Gulf over the weekend and on into Monday, forcing producers to evacuate personnel and stop production. Natural gas for July delivery settled 6.9 cents higher at 2,694 a million British thermal units on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Coming up later today, we'll keep you updated with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Right now, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade. July wheat trading at 7:30 and a half, down 1 1/2. September wheat trading at 7:50, down 1 1/4. July corn trading at 6:60 and a quarter, that's up 10 3/4. September corn trading at 6:38, up 10 1/2. July soybeans now trading at 14.74 3/4, up 3 3/4. August beans trading at 14.58 3/4, up 2 3/4. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy.